Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
I want you, if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 28. So glad that you're here today. Genesis 28. Genesis 28, verse 11. At sundown, Jacob arrived at a good place to set up camp and stopped there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven. And he saw the angels of God going up and down that stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord. And the Lord said, I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham, the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I am giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. What's more, I am with you. Everybody say, God is with me. And I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I finish giving you everything that I've promised you. I will not leave you till I finish giving you everything that I've promised you. So God's the one that makes it happen as you stay with him. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid and said, what an awesome place this is. It's none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven. The next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against. See, now when I read that, I would always just rather go pillowless. He took the stone he had rested his head against and set it upright as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it. He named that place Bethel, which means house of God, although previously it was called Luz. Then Jacob made this vow. If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey and will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God, and this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God. And I will present to God a tenth of everything he's given me, or a tithe of everything he's given me. So Jacob's working. He's working for a man named Laban, and Laban begins to cheat him. So the Bible says in chapter 30, I don't have time because I'm just giving you a chance to tithe and sow seed, but I want you to do it in faith. So I'm giving you some scripture. The Bible says that they made a plan for Jacob to increase. But Laban, that was in charge, and you may have had an employer like this, he started doing stuff at night that was, in violation to their agreement that kept him from prospering. But then remember God said, I'll stay with you until I've given you everything he promised. So then God gave Jacob a plan to increase his flocks and herds and decrease the flocks and herds of the man who was trying to cheat him. So God made good on that, and he didn't make good on it 20 chapters later. He made good on it immediately. It's in the next chapter. Now, chapter 31. The Bible says how God did it. Verse 4. So Jacob called Rachel and Leah out to the field where he was watching his flock. He said to them, I've noticed your father's attitude towards me has changed, but the God of my father has been with me. You know how hard I've worked for your father, but he has cheated me, changing my wages 10 times. And he changed it down. So, people go through this now. And if you don't have somebody preach to you like I'm preaching to you out of the Bible, I don't mean the style I preach. I'm saying if people don't tell you this doctrine out of the Bible, then you get discouraged. It's almost like, what's the point of trying hard And some of you work with people every week that they've basically adopted that. You know, I'll show up when I'm going to show up. If you start working hard, they tell you, hey, it's no use doing that. We all get paid the same, whether you do that or not, because they've allowed Laban and that Laban system to just take the fight out of them. What's the point? You can't get ahead. Some of you have parents that taught you like that. No point doing anything. Government just takes it all anyway. Because there is a system, and it's not new, and it's not just in America. There's actually, if you read in the Bible, every time the Israelites went to sow their seed, when they'd go to get their harvest, that's when the enemy came and tried to take their harvest from them. The devil does not like righteous people prospering. And so when you try to break that, there is a resistance in the spirit that to keep you from prospering. But God said, part of the Abrahamic covenant is, I know that, and I'll be with you until you receive everything that you promised. You could go to a church today where they'd focus on how Joseph was in prison and Joseph was a slave. How many know even though he served God, he still ended up a prisoner and a slave? No, he didn't end up one. He went through those things and then God brought him out, and the Bible says he said his testimony. Genesis 50, chapter 50, verse 20. What the enemy meant for evil, God has taken it and turned it for good. So people can take shots at you. You can go through things. In fact, Isaac, two chapters earlier from where we read, Jacob's father, the Bible says he increased, and the Philistines envied him and deported him from his property and seized his wells and took his wealth. They thought if they took his wells and took what he had, that was his blessing. That's what the world thinks. You know, there's people that think if they can kick us out of this building, they'll shut our church down. They don't understand. We could go meet in a field and the crowd would double. What does it matter? You can't curse who God has blessed. And everything the devil means for evil, God takes and turns for good. Did you know even when Pharaoh tried to stop boys being born from the Hebrews, the Bible says the more he oppressed them, the more they multiplied. The more he oppressed them, the more they multiplied. There's actually something in the anointing that the more the enemy tries to push, it releases something that makes him sorry that he ever attacked, and it becomes visible that he's not messing with a normal person. He's messing with someone who's blessed by God, the people who are called by his name, and the sheep of his pasture. And I'm telling you, that's going to be your story this year. You might look like everybody else, but you're not like everybody else. You're in covenant with God. I said, you're in covenant with God. See, that's what these men knew in the Bible. David knew he was in covenant with God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he defies the armies of God? Why did he point out that he's uncircumcised? Kind of a weird thing to shout out in public. The sign of the covenant in the Old Testament was circumcision. Who is this man that has no covenant with God that's messing with people that are in covenant with God? Today I'm going to take you out. Then everybody tried to discourage him. His own brother, the king, they came. And what did they all point to? Natural things. You're just a boy. He's been in the army since he's a boy. We don't operate on a natural plane. If there's one thing you can learn from the Bible, it's this. God doesn't give a hoot how smart you are, how dumb you are, what talents you have, what talents you don't have. He blesses obedience and he blesses faith. If you say, Lord, I believe you. I believe that you're going to take me to where no man can take me. God takes pleasure. The Bible says he takes things that the world counted as nothing at all and uses them to shame those that are powerful. That's the covenant that's on your life. This is not a church of ordinary people. This is a church of people that God has called out from the world. He's going to elevate you and exalt you and prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies. If you believe that, go ahead and do what you're already doing. Clap your anointed hands to the Lord. Praise God. Love you, Brother Larry. Thanks for teaching me to read. It's coming handy. Love you today. Everybody say, God's hands on my life. So he reduced my wages 10 times, but God's not allowed him to do me any harm. Say this out loud. My life is not in anybody's hands except God's. You make whatever threat you want. You know, that man that got upset at you, he's the top lawyer in this area. Good, whoop-de-doo. You think God's up in heaven going, wow, that man's the top lawyer in this area. Yeah, my Father is the Most High God. My elder brother is Jesus Christ. So congratulations about your laminated name tag and your corner office. We're all very proud of you. Say, my life's in God's hands. See, people should know that when God calls you to live a separated life, I was telling when I was in Washington, D.C. preaching, and I'm not saying this to sound arrogant or be arrogant, but I genuinely think one of the reasons God's called me to preach in Las Vegas and given me a burden there is I'm probably one of the only people he can send in that won't get overcome by the place. I quit telling people that I go there other than to preach so they come hear me preach, you know. Because I tell preachers all the time, like, hey, ever go to Las Vegas? They got great restaurants there. You like playing craps? No, I don't. Yeah, I've done it before. Okay, I don't. That's probably why the Lord doesn't call you there, because if you started a church there, not only would the church not grow, you'd be in hell. Because you actually have less in you than what's in that place. But the Bible says darkness is not supposed to extinguish light. Light extinguishes darkness. Say out loud, greater is he that lives in me than he that's in the world. So I separate myself from the world, not in a commune. You know, you interact with people. I interact with people. I'm not interacting with Christians. What Christian casino? You think I'm preaching at a casino because I want to separate myself and never talk to people that curse or anything? The world, there's cigarette smoke. This isn't children's church. We're not teaching your children to go into casinos, but I'm not. I feel like I should be able to go in there, and that place isn't going to take me over and Pastor Rodney. I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here, the story of that meeting's not going to be, did you hear what happened to Pastor Rodney and Jonathan? They're both male dancers now on the Las Vegas Strip to pay off their gambling debts. First of all, I don't think I'd make any money. It'd be the first dancer that people said, we'll give you money to put something back on. You're making me sad. Please eat something. No, it's not going to be that you hear Pastor Rodney and Jonathan got on drugs. No. People that are on drugs are going to get delivered from drugs. People that are bound in immoral lifestyles are going to get set free by immoral lifestyles. I'm not trying to avoid what's in the world, but I'm living a separated life. You know, I don't do what everybody else does. I had a guy tell me, you know, in the ministry, I was in such a country preaching, and they drink there. So normally I don't drink, but you know, there's certain things when you go to a place, you don't want to offend the people, so I drink. Let me tell you something. I'm happy to offend people in any culture. I'm not drinking. What culture do they not drink in? They drink in every culture. I'm mostly Polish. Polish people drink. I know the Germans somehow get a reputation as drinkers, but I'm Polish. Polish people drink heavy. Those are European statistics. That's not me saying stereotypes. People die in snowdrifts in Poland every year, walking back from the bar drunk, and they find their frozen bodies. Then England, the second thing I am, I remember when the World Cup was in Germany, the Germans complained that the English had drunk all the alcohol out of Germany. They were running low on beer in Germany because the British came. But that's genetically, in the natural, that's what I am the most. But I'm a covenant man now. I'm the seed of Abraham. I don't drink. I don't touch drugs. I don't gamble. I'm telling you, review all the footage you want from Wynn Casino where I stay and see if I've ever stopped at a slot machine or a table ever. Why? Because I'll go to hell? No, I'm not going that way. Now, there's plenty of footage of me eating my weight in Italian food. But I don't do that other stuff. Why? Because I've chosen. God gave us a life to live separated from the world. But in separating yourself from the world, he's not doing it to take the fun out of life. He's separating you to a blessing. Say something with me. Purity produces power. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 19 through 22. That if you keep yourself pure, you become a vessel of honor fit for the master's work. I told you when we started chartering jets, now we have our own. It used to freak the pilots out. There's alcohol on all those jets. What can I get you to drink? Nothing. Then I told you when we'd fly in January and we were all fasting, they'd say, what can we get you to drink? We've got whiskey, we got rum, and it's like fine stuff for executives. What would you like? No, nothing. Okay, then what can we get you to eat? We're also not eating. And the one guy said, you don't have any women on here, you don't have any booze, and you're not gonna have any food? What do you people do? I said, I preach. Amen. I'm a preacher. So when you separate yourself out, see, I feel like a lot of those things are tests. I feel like the Lord sees there's very few people that you can give any blessing to, and they won't just abandon and start enjoying life. But if like your father Abraham, see, this is where it's wrong. People start teaching then that how many know God doesn't want to give you the wealth, because then the wealth will take the place of God. The wealth can take the place of God, but I got a question. When Abraham got blessed by God, did he backslide and start becoming obsessed with the silver and gold and all that he had? Or did the more God bless him, the more he pressed into God and sowed more and gave more? He sacrificed Isaac. He didn't tell God. Now listen, I'm not sacrificing Isaac. So if we part company here, that's fine. You've already multiplied my silver and gold. He was already very rich. He could have said, no, I'm not doing that. No. The more God blessed him, the more he sacrificed, and the more he pressed into God. Well, who is our father in the faith? Abraham. The Bible says Abraham is the father of all who believe. Say, Abraham's my father. So I don't have a generational curse. I have generational blessings. And one of those blessings is the ability for God to materially prosper you, and the material prosperity never take the place of God in your heart. If you believe that, can you say amen? Hey, I mean, no, money will take God's place in your life. Okay, so then are all poor people serving the Lord? Can I go to every trailer park in Appalachia and they're having revival right now? No, there's domestic calls for assault there. There's domestic calls for assault. Now, if you live in Section 8 housing, the cops get called on Saturday night because somebody hit somebody. And if you live next to Tiger Woods on that one Thanksgiving night, the cops got called because he left his phone on the table and a woman texted him and the wife saw it and she took one of his golf clubs and was chasing him around the yard, hitting him in the knee. So you know what you learned from that? Whether you live in the nicest neighborhood in the United States or the worst neighborhood in the United States, sin and the devil don't care how much money you make. But then if you'll serve God, regardless of where you are now, God doesn't care how much money you make. He'll take you straight to the top in Jesus' mighty name. And I see you going to the top. We are raising up people. I want to tell you this. The man who pastors the largest church on planet Earth said the Lord spoke to him, never raise money, raise men, and you'll never have to raise money. When I give you these dissertations before we receive the offering, it's not trying to get people to say, you know what, I wasn't going to give. That was a good speech. I'm going to give $4 now. It's not that. It's not to get people that weren't going to give $1,000. It's to put something in you that when you give, Peter gave Jesus his boat. But then after he gave him the boat, Jesus gave it back with an instruction. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets and catch some fish. And when he did, the Bible says the nets were so full of fish that nets began to tear and the boats began to sink. I don't want you giving like I was taught to give. How many know this place isn't free and we pay and we have staff. And it's not free to go out to Las Vegas. We got to pay. No, that's not why you give. How did Jacob give? How did Jacob give to the Lord? Jacob heard what God said. Everybody say the word of God. The word of God then was spoken word. There was no Bible written like we have. And God said to him, I'm going to give you the land that I swore to your father. And I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to increase you. And Jacob said, if you'll do what you're saying you're going to do, I'm going to give you a tenth of everything I have right now, believing that you're going to do the things that you said by your word. So is it wrong then to give with an expectation of God doing something that he told you he'd do in his word? How many know when we give, we shouldn't expect anything? Jacob expected something. He said, I expect you to do what you said. Now, you're not commanding. Now, God, you're going to do what I tell you. It's what God said. He said he'll bless you. He said he'll multiply your seed. He said he'll increase your silver and gold. He said he'll give you influence and honor. So when you give and you say, Lord, I'm believing that the things you said you'd do, I'm giving this as a token to let you know I don't disbelieve it, I believe you. And when he did, God tangibly stayed with Jacob and made sure everything resisting his advancement was broken. I tell you, in the month of February, everything that's resisting your advancement isn't going to make it to March 1st. You're going to go higher and higher and higher in Jesus' mighty name. Well, I said more than I intended to say, so let me cut to verse 10. How did he prosper? Verse 10, Genesis 31:10. One time during the mating season, I had a dream and saw the male goats mating with the females that were streaked, speckled, and spotted. Then in my dream, the angel said to me, Jacob, and I replied, yes, here I am. The angel said, look up, and you will see only the streaked, speckled, and spotted males are mating with the females of your flock. For I have seen how Laban has treated you. Everybody said, God sees. You know, no one cares. No, God sees and God cares. Doesn't matter whether anybody notices. Doesn't matter. I'm not saying this. I'm going to try to say this in a way that it doesn't sound like I'm critical or hurt or anything, because I'm not either of those things. What ministry in Southwest Pennsylvania has risen up to help us start this church? No, if anything, there's private meetings. They're a cult. It was a church in Moon Township that turned us in at the building of 107. They saw us have 771 people for Easter in that little building. And they took pictures and turned us in. Nobody's helped. The body of Christ didn't rally and build us a church. And Brother Shuttlesworth, we see you had 1,400 people coming to what no eye has seen. You can't fit in those buildings anymore. We've all decided to get together and take an offering and build you a church. No, the opposite. Photograph it and turn you into code enforcement. But why am I as happy? And if you follow me on social media, I'm having fun. At the expense of other people, but I am having fun. Why? Why am I not? Can you believe? You would think if a young man came and tried to start a church, people would try to help him. No, I already knew from the Bible, people not only don't try to help you, they get angry and try to stop you. But God said, I've seen how they've treated you, and I'm giving you a dream. This is how you beat the system that's knocked against you. When God is for you, nobody can be against you. When God sends you, nobody can send you back. And people waste way too much time trying to get people on their side and no time trying to get on God's side. But today the Lord's saying, who's on the Lord's side? Come and stand with me. And when you stand with God, God stands with you. Ms. Reyes, stand up so people can see you. She was decorated this week by the company that she works for. She flies all week, more than me. And I've known her since she was in college. I follow her on Instagram. This is not a word of knowledge. It was not a vision. It was a vision I saw on Instagram. So they gave her the award for top in the company. Now, I've never asked you, but I bet you there's a time when you finish your stuff for that company that there comes a point where you have to break and go, I'm going back to my room. Correct? Oh, come on. It's no big deal. We out. That's where you make your contacts. We're just going to go to the bar. You don't have to get, you can drink a Coke. But then she makes up for my, no, this is where me and you part company. And not me. And then what happens? You separate yourself unto God, and God separates you out where she's now top and going to go higher. Now, and congratulations. Now that's one, you can be seated. You don't have to stand the whole night. That's one person in this church like that. And she's far from the only one. I could have tons of people standing here where you're starting to break forward in this church. We have people coming to this church that have been out of prison for 3 weeks. They came the first week, they're out of prison. You think God's going to have like a probation period? Well, you just wait. You know, I'm still a little unsure about you. I mean, for God's sake, you have a coiled snake tattooed on your neck. God doesn't care. Anybody ever see that woman that we play the video of that got healed, that couldn't eat anything, that was a biker's girlfriend? Yeah, she had a paw print tattoo on her boobie. God didn't care. It's people that think like that. It's man that's always looking for a reason to why you can't get ahead. But God moves by faith. You could have an upside down cross tattooed on your forehead, but if you repent and give your life to God and say, I'll serve you, God will take you higher than the people that are so proud of their crisp white dress shirts and how they've never done anything wrong. I'm telling you, this room full of people is about to explode. A barrier breaking anointing, a line crossing anointing. For I have seen how Laban has treated you. Genesis 31:13. I am the God who appeared to you at Bethel. So God never left him. I was watching how I treated you. I'm here again. Then he visited him in his dream. The place where you anointed the pillar of stone and made your vow to me. Everybody say, made your vow. Now get ready and leave this country and return to the land of your birth. So an angel, because if you read earlier, it just says Jacob started to do stuff to the trees and they began to mate and it was favorable for his herds. But then if you read further, where did he get the idea to do that? You putting animals in front of speckled trees doesn't make them have certain kinds of babies. You know, I have a white golden doodle named Christopher because my daughter named him. So when he runs away from the yard, it sounds like I have a live-in boyfriend. Christopher! He won't answer to Chris. Christopher! You get in here. I love you, Christopher! People are going, that pastor says he's a full gospel preacher. I'm telling you, he's gay. I even saw him wear a flower suit jacket. If I put Chris to look at something that's brown, he doesn't have brown babies. So this thing that the angel gave him to do was supernatural. Everybody say supernatural. When you fish all night and catch nothing, and you're not supposed to fish in the day, and then you drop your net down one time and it fills your net and your net begins to tear and your boat begins to sink. Then you give a cry for help to your other fishing partners and soon their nets are tearing and their boats are sinking. That's not natural. Because what was the reaction? Peter didn't say, hey, thanks. That's one of the best days we've ever had fishing. Peter ran back to Jesus and fell at his feet and said, please leave. I'm too much of a sinner to be around someone like you. So that's supernatural. That's a professional fisherman that said, this is weird. I've never seen anything happen like this before. So I wanted to tell you, and I spent too much time on the text, but I felt last night when I was meditating on what the Lord would have me to say to you, for the offering, I wanted to just rehash quickly, especially now, it'll be very quickly, the three keys that Oral Roberts put in his book, Miracle of Seed Faith Giving. Because up until he wrote that book, all giving was taught in the church, and it's still taught like that most places. We have a need, please help. I'm going to Las Vegas this week, please help. I have a daughter, she needs diapers, please help. You were giving to help the pastor and you were giving to help the church. But Oral Roberts got a revelation from God and he wrote a book. I'd encourage you to get it. It's called The Miracle of Seed Faith Giving. And God told him 3 points about offerings. Number one, God is your source. When I give, I'm giving to the Lord. How many of you saw when we gave that $1 million check to Pastor Rodney Howard Brown? What did I tell him when I gave it to him? I'm not doing this to help you. I'm doing it to help me. You're the soil that's receiving the seed. I'm not saying, now I hope he has me to preach and you know he should give me at least $1 million. No. Jesus said, if you help those who can help you, you're no different than the heathen. But if you bless those who will not repay you, then your heavenly Father will repay you. Notice how Jacob kept pointing back to God. God has helped me. That God sent his angel. The Lord was with me. The Lord saw. So you have to have, that's why it's point number one. You have to believe that there is an actual God named El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord that supplies all your needs. Then you say amen. Number one, there is a God, and God is my source. Say, God is my source. So the Democrats might mess things up. The Republicans might mess things up. But that's not my area. I'm not receiving from this world. I'm receiving from God. And God's not limited by anything in this world. Can you say amen? So then you never fear. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? God is my source. Number two is sow a seed. And then with that, sow a seed in expectation of a harvest. Please write that down. If you write it in your Bible, it's not a bad idea. Sow a seed in expectation of a harvest. Isaac wasn't donating to the Lord's cause. If you will give me this land that you swore to your father you'd give me, like you're saying, and multiply my possessions, like you're saying, I'm giving you this tithe, believing you're going to do what you said. They asked Oral Roberts when he was older, what is the biggest mistake you made in life? He said, the biggest mistake I've ever made is every time I sowed a seed without attaching my faith to it for a specific harvest. I think, is Tristan in children's church? Did anybody see 8-year-old Tristan from the church preach yesterday? Do you know what the backstory is? He told the Lord, I want to preach. Heard this. See, it's called childlike faith. I guess this is how they go about getting money from people. But then a child, Tristan, said, okay, I can sow a seed and believe God for something, then I'm going to do it. And he gave $1,000. Again, I don't know what the children of this church are doing during the week, but we don't judge. He had a good week stealing cars or whatever. I mean, what 8-year-old puts $1,000 in the offering? And he's not the only one. Our children's church offerings, because God doesn't care. God doesn't care how old you are or anything. He cares about obedience and faith. So he put $1,000 in and told the Lord, I want to preach. No one knew. We found all this out later. And then Pastor Sam, stand up so everybody can see you, who runs the outreach department. Well, you tell him, because Adas was telling me secondhand. What precipitated you? Who has an 8-year-old preach an outreach? You know, what you know, has he gone to Bible school? He hasn't gone to any school. Who has an 8-year-old preach a meeting, a serious meeting? It's not like they've lined up stuffed animals for him. Oh, they have the clip. Play the clip. Stay up with me. That's yesterday. He has a DJ somehow. I don't know why he's pacing back and forth and jumping up and down. I don't know where he got that from. Somebody should settle him down. You don't have to do all that. All right. Now, for a child to speak to adults and children and do it boldly like that, that's not natural. So he said, I want to preach. So I'm giving you, Father, $1,000 believing that you'll open opportunities for me to preach. And you tell it from your perspective, because I only heard from Adalys.
Yeah, it was about 5 or 6 weeks ago. I just kind of felt in my spirit.
By the way, that accent is completely put on. He's actually from Sewickley, but go ahead.
I found that people listen to me more when I fake it. About 5 or 6 weeks ago, I'd felt in my spirit Tristan, because, you know, you see him around here, you see everything he's doing, how much he presses in. And I kind of just let it simmer for a little bit. And then during the prayer and fasting, you called him out one day, laid hands on him and talked about opportunities and stuff. And I was like, now's the time. So I approached him like the next day or something and said, are you ready to preach? And he was like, yes, you know, I'll take it. I only found out again like the next week his mother came and told me.
That's right. Nobody knew. I didn't know. I don't count the offerings. I don't touch the money. Thank you.
Of course.
So think of this. At your average church, if you want to get baptized at the age of 8, they won't let you. You're a little young. Wait till you're older and they're out of the church and backslidden and no longer want to be baptized anymore, and then we'll let you get baptized. But think about it. They won't even let an 8-year-old get baptized. So why would a pastor notice a child and then he noticed it? And it's like, no, that's kind of ridiculous. When he's older, I'll preach. And Adalys told me that Pastor Sam's it came to a point he couldn't shake it, kept noticing him. No, have him preach now. So there's a God The God that moved that plane in my direction moved the preaching opportunity to Tristan. Notice everything that's in common. Sow a seed in expectation of a harvest. That's why I take the time to do this before we receive the offering. I don't want anything frittered away into the offering. No, I mean, I'm from Pittsburgh, you know. I'm from here. I know people here. I'm one of them. No, Jonathan's a good guy. We like supporting what he does. That's not it. I'm not PBS trying to keep Big Bird on the air. It's not donating to help a charity. But that's how probably still 80% of the people that give in this church, and we have a ton of giving. So you notice, I'm not trying. This is not a message to try to get people to give. The giving at this church is through the roof. Through the roof. I want you to be blessed. All right, aggressive media team. They just flashed me and found another clip of him, and you can hear him preaching. Normally, you can't even get him to play the videos that you asked for. Now they're just like popping them up left and right. All right, whoever's in charge back there now.
And if you want to be a thing, or be an example, so you come up and you...
Look at that.
Okay. All right, so it's like if you have a whole group hug, so hug him, or like that, and then you hug him.
Isn't that awesome?
So it's like peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit. You represent the Holy Spirit, you represent joy, and you represent peace. So peace, joy, and the Holy Spirit, it says it. If the Bible says it, then you believe it.
Amen.
If it's true, if the Bible says it.
Amen.
If, because the Bible says that Holy Spirit, joy, and peace all go together.
Isn't that great?
All right, thank you guys for being our examples.
You can bring it back to me. Now, some Twitter account or Facebook account would put that video up and go, look at these people brainwashing children. But if he wanted to get his no-nose lopped off, it's totally cool. So why is it okay? It's brainwashing if you let people learn the Bible when they're 8. But if you want children to alter their sex, it's not. Let me tell you something. The world's not going to define our course of operation at this church. If the devil is giving 6-year-olds his doctrines, we're going to put the doctrines of Christ. We're not going to wait till people are 23 and screwed up and in a methadone clinic. You can get your children full of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God now. Can you say amen? Somebody say, sow a seed. And then the third point is expect a miracle. And that's basically what I already covered in point 2. Sow a seed and expect a miracle. Pastor Rodney, I'm not giving you this $1 million to help you. I'm giving it to help me. Because we're probably going to build a $25 million church, and you can't do that with, no matter how tight you hold $3 million, it doesn't turn into 25. And I'm not going to pound the road for 10 years trying to, you know, many of us, you know, we have land, but we're going to get that church. If you could just, I'm not doing that. I'm going to sow a seed. You heard me say it. I'm not saying it after the fact. I said on air. Instead of going to PNC Bank and asking how much we can borrow, let's give God a chance to, let's see what happens if instead of giving, what would PNC want for a down payment on a $20 million church if they would loan us the money? Somebody tell me. $6 million? Okay. So instead of giving $6 million to PNC to borrow money to pay back with interest, what if we gave, and we did last year, that's interesting, that the amount you would need to give to PNC is $6 million, and last year we gave $6.3 million to feed hungry children and expand the kingdom of God. Well, let's see if we let God move instead of doing things man's way, if God will do what he said. And what did he say? He told Jacob how he'd help him, but he told you how he'd help you. See if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that's so great you won't have room enough to take it all in. I'm not going to man. If that book isn't true, then I quit. If God can't do the finance part, why believe him about heaven? If God can't do the finance part, why believe him? If Deuteronomy 28 isn't true, if Proverbs 10:22 isn't true, why believe John 3:16? But you know as well as I do, most of us grew up in churches. John 3:16 is true. Heaven's true. Hell's true. But the blessing of the Lord makes a man rich. No, it's written by the same guy. So if you're going to say that about that, you can say it about Romans. Anyone that confesses their sin will be saved sometimes. No, God said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And he's looking today in Pittsburgh and Fort Worth for people. Your offering is a signal. I believe you that you're going to take me where I could never go. Your offering is a protector. Your offering destroys the things that are trying to destroy you. It puts you in covenant with God. Offering envelopes are in your seat. If you're watching online, revivaltoday.com, you click give now. Thank you for your giving. God, say it one more time. Number one, say, God is my source. Number two, say, sow a seed. Number three, say, expect a miracle. I expect a miracle. Not because I'm pushing God around, but because he said he would. So, and I believe him. I believe he's going to do what he said. I believe he's done what he said. Amen. While you're preparing your offering, just listen to this. Yeah, but that was Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Galatians 3:26. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on a new garment. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true seed of Abraham. You are his heirs, and everything God promised Abraham belongs to you. Not will belong to you.
And one day in heaven, amen.
No, the kind of faith you have, you'll probably be in a cinder block apartment even in heaven. God will say, I've heard how you talk. You don't get a mansion of gold. You're going to go live in that thing next to the lawnmower.
I mean, no, it's not important.
No, I heard you say it's not important. So you can just go, I got you a sleeping bag on the streets of gold. Everything God promised Abraham, not will belong to me, belongs to me. Galatians 4, verse 28. And you, dear brothers and sisters, are all children of the promise, just like Isaac. So we read about Abraham, read about Isaac, read about Jacob. Everything. What did God say when he appeared to Jacob? I am the God of your father Abraham, and what I started with him, I'm going to continue with you. And then it continues with us. Because through you, all the descendants of the earth will be blessed. I'm, by the grace of God, I'm a blessing to Pittsburgh. I'm a blessing to Fort Worth, Texas. I am a blessing to 5,000 children every day who would have no food. There's a family here that came back from England. Somehow through YouTube, I blessed them. Enough that they came once, then made a plan to come back with their whole family, and they're here today. Some of you that are here, some of you are here against your will, or someone invited you and they wouldn't shut up, so eventually you came. But a lot of you that are here, God has used my life to be a blessing to you. And then when we go to Las Vegas, I was in Washington, D.C. last week. I was a blessing to people. I'm going to be in Las Vegas this week. There's going to be stories we come back with next week, people that didn't know a thing about God. When we were in Los Angeles, we were preaching in the hotel. And a lady, a Jehovah's Witness with stage 4 cancer, heard us preaching, saw the testimonies, and came, and I prayed for her, and she felt God heal her, and came to the altar and gave her life to the Lord, and gave me a big hug. I've never felt anything like this before. Why? Because the same thing that gives the plane and the building and the microphone and everything else, I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing. That through you, everybody say through me. All the people of the earth will be blessed. See, that's you. Everybody say, I'm a blessing. And say, the blessing is greater than the curse. That's why I don't, I hate talking like this. I need to find a way to phrase it better. For me personally, you can't get me, like let's say Trump and Biden dropped out and RFK, and the two people running for president were Lucifer and his twin brother Beelzebub. You wouldn't see me worried. The darkness that's in the world can never be greater than the Christ that's in me. And I'm called to bless this place, and the blessing is greater than the curse. Can you say amen? You know, and then as you operate, everybody say, I'm blessed, and I'll be a blessing. Now, Rhea got an award. They had her speak. What if the day comes, we're at the main national convention in Las Vegas or San Diego or wherever, they give her 20 minutes to speak. This happens all the time. I saw a guy do it in Orlando. They don't check what you're going to speak. You're our top salesperson. Please address our whole company. And you get up and crack your Bible open and say, I want you to know that I have no ability to do anything that I've done. The one who did it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I want to tell you that from the day I entered into a covenant with God through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, he's made me different. He's made all the difference. I watched the guy in Orlando last year. They had him give the speech. And he told how God had helped him. And he said, there's many people here at this sales convention that need help. You're not doing well. You've been given a health diagnosis. I'm going to pray for you like my pastor prayed for me. And God's going to help you. And when he gave the altar call, you know who came to the altar? Everybody. They showed the chairs. There wasn't anybody left in the chair. Sinners. Sinners at a convention. They need help. God doesn't want to just use pastors. He wants to use you wherever you are, in the mortgage industry, in stocks, in finance, in medical sales, in construction, that somebody's there that isn't like everybody else, and they are a blessing to the nations of the earth. Somebody say, I'm a blessing. Sheraton Gateway in Los Angeles said, please come back. And we are. We're going to come back for a week. Do a bigger crusade that's organized more than 11 days ahead of time by a Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre Instagram AI video. I'm a blessing. We had a hotel, a guy that owns a luxury hotel in Las Vegas say, why don't you tell us you're coming to preach? You could have used my hotel for free. I'll be at the meetings. He owns the hotel, not the manager, the owner. Then the next day, the guy that has the top private security firm in Las Vegas that handles every star that comes in there, they have over 200 security guards, said, I watch you and Rodney on television, and I'm going to provide security from our five-star firm for the whole time. See, those are signs that when you move in, stop thinking about what's against you. When you move in, I'll anoint your head with oil. Your cup of blessings will run over. You begin to attract things to your life. I see things being attracted to your life. You're not going to have it hard like your mother had it. You're not going to have it hard like your father had it. It only takes one person in a family to say, I'm not going that way. I'm going to live my life according to the Bible, the Word of God. I'm going to live according to the Bible. I think that stuff's a scam. Then don't give. It don't make any difference. If everybody here today gave all the money they had, it can't fund what we're doing. Projected budget for this year to break even is $23 million. So, you think I'm trying to get that this morning? Please, who will give the first million? I believe there's 23 people today. Sorry, the Nicorette got stuck in my throat. Hallelujah. Well, let's just thank him for it in advance. Close both eyes. Say, thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you for making me a blessing. No, I don't go drinking with you after work. Not because I'm better than you, because I'm in a covenant with God and there's certain requirements, but when the day comes, you're not trying to get people to stop drinking that aren't saved. They'll just go to hell sober. But when the day comes where the alcohol is no fun anymore and it's causing more problems than it is giving you help, I'll be the one person in the company you can say, hey, wait a minute. Can you help me? The same people that made fun of you. What are you? All right, St. Chris. All right, Saint Mike, what are you, a nun? You can't go with us, but they'll come back. People pay attention. Can you say amen? I pray this for you as your pastor and a servant of the Lord. I pray that this place would explode with biblical testimonies. People's companies would go parabolic. Like where people say, I don't think that's possible. Where the IRS audits you because there's no way a company, they must be laundering money. People have thought that about us, you know. The reason they're able to do what they're doing, they must be laundering money for someone. Okay, yeah. I flew down to Matamoros, Mexico, and met up with Hector and the boys. Said, if you run your fentanyl money through our church and let us keep a cut, that's a great way to grow a church. Very solid foundation. Hello, my name's Pastor Shuttlesworth. You must be Left Eye. But that's what happens. Where God blesses you so much that people have to make up stories about, because there's literally no way that can happen. Do you know, I'll tell from the platform here how someone gave us that plane. And I'll have preachers come up to me. How did you really get it? That's how. How'd I really get it? I saw the guy that owned it and put a 45 to his wife's head and said, give me the keys. People actually don't think there's a real God. Preachers don't think there's a real God. How'd you really get it? Why did it really happen? How it happened is how I told you. A guy came to me at the altar and said, in 2 years, I'm going to give you a plane because I have to finish getting it refurbished. And in 2 years, he dropped it off at Pittsburgh at LJ Aviation. That's how. They called me one Monday and said, can you be there at 2:00? The plane's coming. And I came and accidentally matched the plane with an orange sweater. Hallelujah. And the pilot's a Christian, and his brother's a Christian that takes his money. We didn't know this. The pilots were assigned. They're both full gospel Christians that use their money from piloting to help build churches. They come and help run the product table sometimes. They're in line half the time to get hands laid on them. You can't make this stuff up. Hallelujah. I was born in Washington Hospital. And my mom and dad got their first apartment when I was 5. We lived in other people's homes with no money. Yeah, I don't have all that. Neither did I. When I came out of my mom's womb, a Falcon 50 didn't come out next. I don't have that. Neither did I. Instead of a plane, I had a speech impediment and braces on my legs. I stand here every Sunday as a shining example that if you're at the very bottom, you don't have the physical skills. I mean, anybody here, the one Sunday that I was preaching and that lady with white hair in that section said, are you Jonathan that went to church in Houston, Pennsylvania? How are you speaking? We used to pray for you. You couldn't talk. Speech impediment. Miss recess two days a week to go get speech therapy. And now all I do, can't shut up. Hallelujah. God doesn't care what you have. He cares what you believe. Believest thou that I can make you to see? As your faith is, so be it unto you. Yeah, remember that. Remember that. I'm from Washington County. I've had the best pizza in the world in Italy, and I'd still take Oso's any day of the week. And don't boo. I'll throw you out of the church. This church, we believe in the Bible, we believe in Oso's. If you say anything against either one, you're out of here. You saw Hill House close down? That was my prayers. I'm just kidding. I'm an Oso's man. Amen. If you're watching on TV, you know you like me. You've been wanting to change the channel for 30 minutes, but you can't because an angel hid the channel changer behind the duvet. God's going to change your life today. Go on revivaltoday.com, click give now. Thank you for your giving. We'll see you in Las Vegas this week. That's so funny. that Rodney Howard Brown and I are going to be, you know, have you ever, you've been to Rodney Howard Brown's meetings. Think of the noise that's going to be in that casino. Loud tongues. You can't tell me that people aren't going to wander in drunk thinking like we have the good alcohol. Everybody on the floor laughing, holding their bellies. My Uncle Ted was doing a meeting at a hotel. A guy came in with, you know, just seeing everybody. They were playing Pentecostal music. Everybody's dancing. He walked in and went like this. You know why we're going to Las Vegas? It's going to be a sign and a wonder that the place that that people think God's least likely to move is going to have a revival. The devil's not going to have any part of America. New York will get shaken. California will get shaken. Oregon will get shaken. Washington State will get shaken. The devil's not going to write the last chapter of America. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to write. And I mean us. I mean you. I mean me. 8-year-old preachers, it's a sign. Teenage preachers, it's a sign. Old man getting fired up again, it's a sign. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit. Hallelujah. I might bring Bishop Dag Haywood Mills there next year. Get a check ready for olive oil damages to the casino. Hallelujah. People can't do the slots machines because it's too greasy. I'm telling you, the devil's not going to know what hit him this year. He's going to get hit from the left, from the right, kicked in the head. He's going to get gang attacked by the church of the Lord. There's a new church rising up that's not afraid of the devil. The devil's afraid of them because they know he's not over their head. Go ahead, take 15 seconds, clap. Let it rip on that organ. Let it rip. Praise him in the dance. Praise him with the shout. Praise him on the cymbal. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Fort Worth. Devil's not going to have Texas. Things are turning around in Texas. God's hand is on Texas. God's hands on your family. I'll see you next week, Texas. I'm going to come see you next week, Texas. Looks like a good crowd, but which is a miracle because Texans are interesting people. They're to be happy to go take a run at ISIS, but if it rains, they won't leave the house. We're gonna rip it up this year. You know, we basically had like a year's worth of ministry already. I preached 72 times so far this year. We're in the beginning of February. That's God. That's a supernatural acceleration. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. If God gave me that plane to keep it in the hangar, he's going to be very disappointed. I had the wild revelation that airplanes are to fly. If KDK comes and meets me at that hangar, why do you have a plane? To fly. And I'm going to pull a Kerry Lake and eat while they interview me. Bag of Doritos. To fly. It would be funny just to confirm all their stereotypes. This pastor has his own plane. Why do you have a plane? You'll see. What an evil man. Have like a monocle. Gold-plated cane. Well, at that point, let's receive the offering. Hope you have a good song to sing on the back of gold-plated cane and monocle, Sister Clarita. Something that ties that in. Hold your seat up before the Lord. Father, I thank you for a hundredfold return on every person's seat. Thank you for your hand that's on our lives. Thank you for your hand that's on this ministry. Thank you for making every crooked path straight. Thank you for frustrating the plans of the wicked. Father, we even pray for our president today, as you've instructed in your word. Give him a revelation that Mexico is nowhere near Israel. In Jesus' name, Everybody said amen. I titled today's message, How the Holy Spirit Moves, Understanding How to Release the Power of God. The churches that I grew up in and attended, and most of them in America, I would say, even full gospel ones, and the churches that many of you grew up in, they treated God's power like it was a mystery. Lord, we pray that thy would move, that thou would move today. Have thine way. You know, as if God was just going to bulldoze into the meeting. And you notice God didn't move much. There's actually a way that God moves. You see it in the Bible. You not only see how that he moved, you see how he moved. There's a, anybody ever hear of the old British evangelist, Smith Wigglesworth? He's in heaven now. He raised 21 people from the dead, documented. He ticked a lot of people off one time because they asked him when he was doing a question and answer with ministers. They said, Brother Wigglesworth, what do you do when the Holy Spirit's not moving? And he said, if the Holy Spirit's not moving, I move the Holy Spirit. People got up and left. And he can't talk like that. But if you understand what I'm going to preach today, you'd understand what he means. Is that there's a way. Don't bring me water or anything. It's not. Let me just get one good cough and I'll be done. This was the worst morning to start smoking. All right. Makes for good television. There's things that you do that release what I'm going to call the anointing. What is the anointing? Isaiah 10:27. It is the anointing that lifts the heavy burden and destroys the yoke of bondage. Some of you that started coming here, you don't know that word anointing, so you described it differently. I feel something different there. There's a couple that comes to this church. They watched what no eye has seen on YouTube. He's an older man, and he's a spirit-filled man. And his wife said, we should go to that church. He said, I'll go one Sunday, and if I feel the Holy Spirit or the anointing, then we'll go. And he said, as soon as I walked in, I felt it. Anybody remember that lady from Buffalo, New York that got healed out of a wheelchair, paralyzed from the neck down that came here? Remember what she said? I had my 24-hour care physician wheel me here. And as soon as we went past that yellow curtain, I felt something hit me like a wall. Well, what is that something? It's the manifest power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in the book of Luke, and God's power was present to heal. As Jesus preached, Luke wrote, he could tell there was a difference in the atmosphere. God's power was present to heal. I'm going to back up a little bit. Go to Acts chapter 8. So if there is power from God, and it's power that can open blind eyes, has tangible results. Unstopped deaf ears. It took my speech impediment out. My speech therapist quit after 5 years. Never made any progress. I was a hopeless case. God did that. God called me to preach, and then by the anointing, he did it. By the anointing, God's kept me whole. You've never heard, when has there ever been an announcement? Now, Pastor Jonathan won't be here this Sunday. He's a little under the weather. He tested positive for COVID. You never heard that, ever. My dad, who's 65, has never missed one meeting for sickness or disease. That's the anointing. Not only heals you, it'll keep you strong. Can you say amen? Amen. So if there is something like that, number one, you want it. Number two, you want to know, how do you get it to flow? How do you get it to work? Because there's lots of people, you can go to a church and everybody's filled with the Holy Spirit, but no one's healed. There's people that go to spirit-filled churches from the time they're born till the time they go to college, and in 18 years of going to church, they don't see anybody get out of a wheelchair. They don't see anybody healed of blindness. They don't see any deaf ears come open. So there's a lot of people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, but they don't know how to release his power. So the reason I'm teaching you this is as this church grows, you can't be dependent on me. You have to do what God wants every person to do. Get saved, get filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, and then out of that filling, know how to release it so that you can do damage to the kingdom of the devil. Can you say amen? Amen. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. But the believers who were scattered preached the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miracles that he did. Everyone say visible miracles.
I believe in miracles. The grass grows every spring.
No, they weren't coming to hear Philip to watch the grass grow every spring. They were seeing the miracles that he did. What kind of miracles? Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims. And many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. How many of you were here the one night when Paul and Nietzsche was preaching at What No Eye Has Seen, and that kid came up with the polio crutches and took the crutches off and laid them at the altar? In fact, I think they're still back there. And then he lives in Maine. He has a brother who was born healthy, and he was born with a problem with his central nervous system, and he had to use polio crutches with his feet turned in. He walked back. You remember he could barely walk back? You know, he goes to my mother's church in Maine. My mom said he's gotten stronger every Sunday, where now there's like a major he's never picked those crutches up again. One Friday night, many who were paralyzed were healed. So there was great joy in the city. You know, in Pastor Rodney's meetings, there's people that laugh. If you look up holy laughter, you know, where's holy laughter in the Bible? What if you shifted the focus? Number one, laughter is in the Bible. Number two, what if you shifted the focus to joy? They were exceedingly glad and there was great joy. What do you think great joy is? You're great joy, you laugh. So when people finished, see, all I've tried to do is get this church to be as close to those meetings as possible and keep going. Do what they do, get what they got. They prayed all night, we pray all night. They prayed daily, we pray four times a week. Close enough. And then some all nights to make up for it. Can you say amen? And then as we do what the early church did, we get what they got. But why I'm reading this to you is there was power that I'm calling the anointing. We'll use that interchangeably. The anointing is the manifest power of God. The early church had that. The Bible doesn't say, and Philip spoke unto them and told them three keys to time management or whatever, and then dismissed in prayer, and the people went home to have lunch. There was great joy in the city that so many people were getting blessed. Now, people probably think I overspeak, but remember when we had 31 people is when I said we're going to go to 1,000 people. We're not there yet. We're at exactly 799. But you watch. One day we'll do it. So I don't care where we are now. I know where we're going. The day will come where there will be joy in the entire city of Pittsburgh because there won't be anybody who has a family member or themselves that hasn't been affected by what God does in this revival. Can you say amen? I mean, we used to have one person come, two persons come to the altar, three people come to the altar to get saved. Then now it's starting to hit where we have 95, 97. What do you think would happen if one day, I know where this church is going, what if one day there's 6,000 gathered for church, 8,000, and you give an altar call, and there's 2,100 people in Pittsburgh that give their lives to Jesus Christ and get set free from fentanyl addiction and cocaine. See, that's what happens when you have the anointing. Without the anointing, a pastor just rails against what's going on. Can you believe that people are doing drugs in this city? Yeah, I can believe it. There's video of it. Can you believe people drinking? Yes, I can believe it. But Jesus didn't go around scolding sinners. He gave power to set. What did he say? Actually, if you're going to talk about the anointing, you should probably talk about this. Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, the anointing is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach to the captives that the time of their captivity is over. So one of the things the anointing does is people have captivity. They have suicidal thoughts. They feel like they're going to die. They can't sleep at night. They have cancer. They have some condition in their spinal cord where they can't walk. The anointing comes to take whatever that captive is, and by the power of God, tell people, you might have come in that way, but you're not going to leave that way. It's not to scold drug addicts. It's to set drug addicts free. It's not to scold people that are drunks. It's to set them free from alcohol. The anointing brings liberty and freedom wherever it goes. And I'm telling you, you're going to leave here carrying that power. Whatever used to be in dominion over you, you're leaving here in dominion over that thing. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, it's the anointing. So, because churches have been content to not have any anointing in their services, if you start having services with anointing, people think it's weird. They must be a cult or something. I mean, they did that with Jesus. Jesus's main issue was with other, it wasn't hookers that put him on the cross. It wasn't drug dealers that put him on the cross. It was Pharisees and Sadducees that had the same book he had and were saying, no, you can only cast out demons because you're full of the prince of demons, because they would not admit that they had missed it. If you went to a service in the early church, I just read it to you, there would have been people screaming with demons leaving them. There would have been great joy, people laughing. Many that were paralyzed were healed. Not one or two, many. What if we, I think we're at 4 empty wheelchairs in 2 years of this church so far. Not a lot, but it's growing. I think it was 1 year, 3 last year. Everybody said the anointing increases. So I'm not saying we're perfect, but we're at least going for perfection. Rather, well, that doesn't happen anymore. No. Where does it say that? There's no verse. Not only is there no verse that says that doesn't happen anymore, there's literally the exact opposite verse. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. These things aren't written to marvel at. They're written to say what God did in Jerusalem, what God did in Samaria, the same devil that was there is alive and well now in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Chicago, Las Vegas, Los Angeles. But I got good news. The same power that kicked his tail 2,000 years ago is available to anybody. Somebody say power. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus said what would happen. When you receive, you will receive power and you'll become my witnesses. You'll go and preach about me. So why does an 8-year-old, it's not like I've talked to him 4 or 5 times in my life, Tristan. It's not like the pastors were pulling and saying, now you should be a preacher. No. How come you got filled with the Holy Ghost and just starts getting obsessed with telling people about Jesus? Because when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you want to tell people. Can't shut up. How come you Christians can't keep your faith to yourself? We can't, because we can't. So get used to it. Can't shut up about it. Can't shut up. It's very hard for me when Jesus heals someone to just keep it. No, you can't take a light and keep it under a bushel. You shine it for the whole world to see. See, the devil doesn't want anybody to know that there's alternatives to Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson and Allegheny Health Network and UPMC and you being a slave to the medical system your whole life. No, there is Jesus who sets free by himself without any help from mortal man. He makes the captive free. Can you say amen? Amen. So there was screaming in early. I'm not trying to get people to scream. I'm just telling you. If this kind of service happened in many churches now, Philip would have been asked to leave. No, don't come back. Don't preach here anymore. We don't like that. We have nice services here. You've ruined our church. Do you realize people screamed? It's Sunday morning for crying out loud. Turn to Acts 10. Well, maybe that was just one instance. Acts 10:34. Peter is preaching to a bunch of Italians in Rome. Acts 10:34. Then Peter replied. This is his sermon. Check this out. Like think of the service and what it was like. There's a group. It's Cornelius, all his family, and all his trained servants. He's a Roman centurion. He's a man of clout. It'd be like if I got invited to a dinner party in Sewickley and people had heard about what was going on at the church and they wanted to hear, Well, tell us. And so this guy had him and all his powerful friends and stuff sitting there. And Peter comes in and this is his sermon. I see very clearly that God doesn't show any favoritism or partiality. Say that with me. God has no favorites. In the King James, it says he's no respecter of persons. You know, we had a guy get saved 3 weeks ago. He might still be here. I think he's here today. Chuck went into the prison and preached to him. He got saved. He got released and he came to church here. When he came to the altar and said, didn't you just get out of prison? Okay, we have like a next steps class. So I'm not going to pray for you today. You know, you're just out of prison. Now that's how people think. God doesn't care because God doesn't care. Because he doesn't care. Because everybody's lower than him. If you're president of the United States or you're on parole, you're lower than him. You're so much lower than him that it doesn't matter. So actually, people that are low and know they're low actually have an easier time receiving from God because they don't have any pride. See, if you're governor of Pennsylvania, you're probably going to tell people, I'm the governor of Pennsylvania. If you're on parole, you don't go, hey, just so you know, I'm on parole. Yeah, they said they never saw an ankle fit the bracelet quite like mine. No, you don't brag. You're humbled. I thought when I went to go preach at the prison in Butler that it was going to be the hardest sermon I ever preached. And it was the easiest sermon I ever preached because nobody had it. There was no religious pride. Nobody checked their watch because, number one, they're not allowed to have watches. And number two, there's nowhere to go. So they were happy you came and wanted to hear. So, you know, and preachers should get that through their heads. Because everybody gets excited if a senator comes or something. And they're welcome to come. God also doesn't reject high people. But you should be just as excited. See, like for me, when I heard, like when Chuck texted me and said, someone's coming today from the prison. It's their first Sunday and they're happy to come. I lit up like if they said, senator whoever's coming or governor whoever's coming. We sat up close to the front. Give him a seat of honor. That's awesome that after the devil probably thought he was going to be dead by now, and instead he made it through prison and has given his life to God. I like that. That's a cool thing. I like stories like that. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism or is no respecter of persons. In every nation, everybody say in every nation. So if you start thinking black, white, Hispanic, whatever, you're not thinking like God. God doesn't care about whether you're prisoner or president. He doesn't care your skin color. He sees two colors, faith and unbelief. Can you say amen? In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the gospel for the people of Israel. That there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. How God what, Jesus of Nazareth? Yeah, so we're talking about the anointing, and then the anointing rests on people. That's why churches that pray for God to do something like he's outside never have a move of God. Lord, we ask you. No. You see, people don't like this in church. They don't like that God fills people. Now, how many know God doesn't need a man? Okay, then I'm staying. Then why are any of us here? Okay, then from now on, I'm just going to say, that'll save me a lot of sermon preparation time. I'll just come in my wind pants and a t-shirt and say, Father, have your way today in Jesus' name. Well, guess he doesn't want to move today. Let's be dismissed. If God doesn't use people, I was preaching at a youth camp, and we had a powerful service. The anointing was flowing. Kids received miracles, real miracles. And the nurse at the summer camp, I don't know what her problem was, but she was the speaker in the morning time for some reason. And she preached. How many of you know God doesn't need to use Jonathan to do any of this? He doesn't have to pray for you. You shouldn't ask him for prayer. You should just ask God to touch you by himself. He doesn't have to touch you through Jonathan. God doesn't need him. So when I came there that night, you know me, I can't let anything go. If I'm standing in line at Subway and an 8-year-old looks at me wrong, I go, what's your problem? My wife goes, he's 8. Take it easy. So when I heard she preached that, I preached a weirdly titled sermon that night. Why God Uses Jonathan Shuttlesworth. I said, hey, I heard something from this morning's message that God actually doesn't need me at all. I wish someone would have told me before I left my wife with my newborn daughter to come out here to preach. And I certainly wouldn't have fasted and prayed at all if God can do this, you know, by himself and doesn't use me. See, people always want to malign you. They malign David. They malign Moses. Some people malign themselves, like Gideon and Moses. I'm the least, I'm the lowest. And then if you don't think you're the least and the lowest, the devil will send a plethora of people to remind you that in their opinion, you're the least and the lowest. You just have pride. That's why you go on the outreach teams. You have pride. You want people to see you. Yeah, discouragers. Because God works through people. Put Ephesians 3:20 in the King James. Ephesians 3:20 in the King James. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we would ask or think. Now those churches usually won't quote the second part. How many know God's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or think? Finish the verse. How? According to what? The power that's where? In us, written to spirit-filled believers. This is not a new age claim. How many know there's a light inside of all of us? No, there's a devil in you. But if you're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says you've received power, and that power is in your inner man at all times. And that's what God uses to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we would ask or think. Somebody has to make up their mind, I'm getting filled with that power, then I'm going to allow God to use me to set the captives free. And guess what? I'm looking at 799 people today that have made up their mind. I'm going to be anointed. I'm going to be used by God. I'm going to give the devil the worst year that he's ever had. If that sounds like you, shout amen like thunder. So, churches that don't have a flow of the anointing, their excuse is that they're waiting on God. How many Sundays have we ever prayed for God to send a revival? Never. Is it because we don't believe in revival? I don't know if you've noticed the name of the church, but it's not Revival Tomorrow. It's not Please Send Revival Church. It's not Revival Tomorrow Church. It's not We Believe Revival's Coming Church. It's Revival what? Today. Which I named this ministry that in 2007 after getting tired of hearing people always talking about how many believe God's going to send a revival. Well, when? Because I'm only here for 85 years or so. So let's get the show on the road. Anybody that's 70 or older will let you know, that time goes quicker than you think. So am I waiting for God? Do I serve some slow, dumb God that has some arbitrary time that he's going to move and heal? Even prophetic people, and God bless them. I believe a great wave of healing is going to come to the body of Christ. When? Is Jesus going to come back down and take more stripes on his back? So there can be more healing. Everything we need that is for life and godliness is already made available in the anointing. It's time to stop waiting on God and say, Lord, fill me, use me. Let a revival begin with me in Jesus' mighty name. No doubt you know, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and you're anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all. How many did he heal? I mean, sometimes God, no, you made that up. Stop making up verses. Went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by. Who's the healer? Who's the oppressor? Why did God send cancer? No. Read. The thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. I'm telling you today. I'm telling you in Texas. I'm telling you on DirecTV. I'm telling you on Real America's Voice. Every tragedy, every cancer, every death, it was not God. It was the devil. But Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. 10:38. Went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. 39. And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. That's what you get for helping people. 40. Him God raised up the third day. Hallelujah. Man, it took me till 12:10, but I woke up. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto people. He commanded believers to preach unto people. See, nobody had to sit Tristan down and tell him. He felt if you get anointed, you feel the command to tell people. I'm going to Las Vegas to preach. I'm going to eat. I'm a human being, and I like to not die. So I eat. I will eat. I will sleep at night, but I'm not there on vacation. I hate going to churches, and the pastor goes, hey, while you're here, you want to go fishing? No, I don't. I'm here to preach. When I take vacation, I take vacation. I'm not using church at night as an excuse to travel the world and go on vacation. He commanded us to go and preach. That's what I'm doing. I'm being faithful to that command. When I saw that angel when I was 8 years old, that's what he said. Go and call people that are now in darkness into light. For soon it'll be eternally too late. He commanded us to preach unto people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to judge the living and the dead. Don't switch to 43 yet. Oh, no, you can't. Go ahead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Keep it there. Then Peter said, bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, as we go our separate ways, be with Cornelius and his household. Go with them where they go. Give them traveling mercies on Interstate 79. May they feel your peace. In thy name, amen. There's coffee and scones at the back. And if you know from a generous donation from the Williams family, we have a place in the lobby called the Scone Zone. Where you can have 2-day-old scones. How did the service end? This is how it ended in the Bible with disciples. 44. While Peter yet spake these words, he wasn't even done preaching yet. While he was in the middle of preaching, what happened? The Holy Ghost fell on how many that heard the word? All of them. And it happens, if you preach right, it happens all the time. People react differently. Some people cry. Some people run to the altar. Some people run out the back door because they're living with they don't want to get right with God. So they feel the anointing. I'm getting out of here. You have people flee. They'll get it because they feel, I don't want to get right with God. I don't like this. They've never stormed out of an R-rated movie in their life. They'll storm right out of church. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them and heard. Keep that up. What was the sign? Now, God used this to teach me something one time. I was preaching in Millersburg, Pennsylvania, and I saw God touching a lady and felt to pray for her, but I was only on point 2 of my 4-point sermon, and it was like an awesome sermon that I wrote all afternoon. So I thought, when I'm done preaching, you know, there's preaching. God, obviously, you know, there's 2 fast songs, announcements, 3 slow songs, offering, preaching, and then altar call. So I finished my sermon first. And then when I got done preaching, she was gone, whether she got a text or a call or whatever. And I thought, oh, shoot, I know I was supposed to pray for that lady. And the Lord spoke to me, anytime you see me touching someone, don't make them wait. Pray for them while I'm touching them. But I said, Lord, it was the preaching time. And God always speaks by his word. Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, he wasn't done speaking. And the Holy Ghost began to move because God watches over his word to perform it, one translation says, and to confirm it. The Bible says in Matthew 9, Jesus taught, then preached, then healed. So his speaking was not an end. You don't see people in the Bible close in prayer. Oh, Father, and point 3, and that's all our time for today. Lord, as we close out this message. It's not a podcast. You hear a lot of sermons. It's like, I think a lot of guys, they podcast during the week and they can't switch the gear and stop podcasting on Sunday. They sit on a stool now, sitting on a couch. Let me just ask you to do something for me. Will you? And I know you'll do this for me. So just, I won't put this on everyone, just you. If me and Adonis on a Sunday morning are ever seated on two padded chairs talking about like parenthood or something, take a deer rifle and shoot me in the head. I want to be on record saying charges are not to be pressed. I know you're not allowed to allow someone to murder you, but make an exception. I don't want, it's why we fast and pray 21 days. This is not TED Talks on success. This is not TED Talks on child raising or marriage. This is the word of God preached to set the captive free. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. 45. And they of the circumcision which believed. Do New Living from this point forward, or it's going to get hard for people to read. By people, I mean me. Acts 10:45, NLT. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles too. How did they know the Holy Spirit was poured out? For they heard all of them. Now, how many people did the Holy Spirit fall on? All of them. What was the sign that the Holy Spirit had fallen on them? How many of them were speaking in tongues? Okay, so anybody that tells you that only the first 12 apostles got baptized in the Holy Ghost, I don't know if they bought a Bible on discount because pages were ripped out. All of those Italians were speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, 47, can anyone object to their being baptized? So they haven't even been water baptized yet. Now that they have received the Holy Spirit, even as we did. Let me see King James in the 47. They received the Holy Spirit the same way we received on the day of Pentecost. Which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we, or the same way we did. So it wasn't the apostles got one on Acts 2 and then Gentiles got like a lesser one. Can anyone object to these being baptized, seeing as they received the Holy Spirit the same way we did on the day of Pentecost? 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. That's called an extended meeting. He was there to speak to him one time, and then the power was so strong, he said, don't go, stay here. That just happened to my cousin Preston. He's in the front row. That was his prayer point for 21 days of prayer and fasting. Lord, I've never had an extended meeting. That when I preach this year, let it be so powerful that the pastor says, don't close it. He did a 3-day youth revival, and it was so powerful, the senior pastor said, we're not going to close it. Stay an extra day. Because what happened in the book of Acts is happening right now. It's the only hope. It's not going to help America. It's the only hope for America. The Democrats don't have the answer. The Republicans don't have the answer. Most of them are part of the problem. The answer is a revival of the Holy Ghost and power with signs and wonders. And this church will be a beacon of that light. In Jesus' name. Now I say that because, and I'm going to wrap up. I'm not keeping you here till much longer. I have to go, so you can believe me. But I want to tell you this. You know, I only get to see you sometimes once a week. So let me get this out. Let me birth the whole baby, not just the head and shoulders. What a terrible visual. DirecTV is on there right now. Like, how do we get him off? Puts the Swiffer WetJet commercial on. Would that service be allowed to take place at churches in America today? Even as Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell. And when the Holy Spirit fell on them, what did they all begin to do? Speak in tongues. If that happened, then, hey! Shh! Quiet. I'm preaching. It's not right for people to speak in tongues at all. And then some people that believe in speaking in tongues would say it has to be one at a time. Because the Bible says, let one speak and another interpret. But that's talking about the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians 14. Read it. And then Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, did Peter speak in tongues? And they all stood in a circle and squeezed hands. And then he squeezed John's hand and John began to speak in tongues. And then somebody interpreted. Then they squeezed the other hand. No, the Bible says they all spoke in tongues at the same time. And the people outside heard God being glorified in their languages. They all spoke in tongues at the same time in Acts 2. They all spoke in tongues at the same time in Acts 10. The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. Yeah, decently and in order is in order with the word of God. People were saved. People were healed. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. A service that's out of order is your service. Where no one's saved ever. No one's healed ever. No one's filled with the Holy Ghost ever. That's out of order. Can you say amen? God's order is not man's order. It's not a library. It's not a quiet reading. The services. How many of these do you want me to read? Want me to read Acts 19? Want me to read Acts 4 where they all prayed and the building shook? Talk about a loud meeting. Amazing how many noise complaints you get when you preach. And it's not louder than anything else. I was preaching in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Well, I guess this is going to be a series. I was preaching in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And it was an open-air crusade. And so my dad, by the Holy Ghost, called me and said, when you do your crusade in Allentown, when you go to get the permit, the Lord spoke to me, make them give you a decibel rating of how loud you're allowed to be. My dad's telling me this. I don't know that he'd been to Allentown. He said, they're going to tell you that it's not necessary, that they do concerts there all the time. There's no problems. But make them give you a level. And then my dad said, then keep a decibel reader at the sound booth. And when the police come, show them that you're in the thing. That's called the anointing, keeping you ahead of the curve. So sure enough, our crusade director came. No, you don't have to. We have concerts there all the time. There's never been any noise complaints. And they said, no, we want one. So they gave us 91 decibels. We stayed 89, 87, 90. The cops came three times. Hey, you're going to have to turn this down. We're getting complaints. So, no, it doesn't matter. We're getting complaints. We have a permit from the city to not exceed 91 decibels. Here's the decibel reader. Oh, okay. The police enforced the law. So at 8 in the morning, I got a call from the chief of police. That was new territory for me. I'd been called by Mr. O'Hare to the principal's office when you were the teacher. Sometimes I was sent to Mr. O'Hare by a certain purple-dressed lady in the front row. Sometimes this purple-dressed lady would get so fed up, she wouldn't even send me to the principal's office. She paddled me herself. Can you believe it? Who would hit a nice guy like me right in the B-U-M? You don't say you're sorry. Should have hit me harder. Should have hit me in the head. To tell you the truth, I'm not even making a joke. My dad paddled me, you know? I mean, still, I think he, even at Christmas, I got one, I think. When she hit me the first two times, I thought she was like warming up, like trying to find like her swing. And then the third one, she was done. Oh, all right. Yeah. And then I remember Jared, you paddled him. He cried. You could tell his parents didn't paddle him because he cried hard. But me, I was like an old veteran. Amen. She said, you have a wonderful memory. I've always done well at memorizing physical abuse. Should have hit me harder. What the heck was I talking about? Festival of Life. So I never got a call from the chief of police. And it was so early, my mind wasn't working right. I was like just coming out of a sleep. Hello, this is so-and-so. I'm the chief of police in Allentown. Normally that would freak me out, but I was like too tired. He goes, we're going to need you to turn down your crusade. We had a record number of 911 calls. Over 150 911 calls for you to turn the volume down. I said, I'm not going to turn it down, and I'm going to tell you two reasons why. That came out of my spirit. You want to know how? Because when I said, I'm not going to turn it down, I'm going to give you two reasons why, in my head I thought, really looking forward to hearing what the two reasons are. I don't even know one reason. I said, number one, I said, you gave me on the permit how loud we could be. And we were under that every time your officers came. He said, that's true. I said, well, are laws to be enforced based on people's opinions or by what's written in the permit? He said, you're right. I said, secondly, this is the Holy Ghost. This is how smart the Holy Ghost is. Trust me, I did not come up with this. I said, isn't 911 for emergencies only? He said, yes. I said, are noise complaints an emergency? He said, no. I said, then arrest them. And he laughed like you're laughing. He went, that's true, Reverend. I said, yeah. Then they kept coming out of my spirit. I said, you want to know why they were calling? I said, it wasn't how loud the noise was. It was what we were making noise about. Because the noise that's given in preaching, the noise on that music, I'm going to tell you right now. Brother Tony, play with some life to it. Play Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. Turn him up a little bit. See, that has an anointing on it. If you kept that on, you would sleep through the night without any pills. It will create an atmosphere where evil spirits can't function. And then it'll trouble people that are operating in evil spirits. You know, I was in Italy one time on vacation, and we were in Venice at the Hilton Hotel. It's a very nice hotel. They had a really nice bar, not like a Pittsburgh bar, with like dried blood on the ground from a fight the night before, torn Franco Harris jersey. This was like a nice Italian bar. The men were in black suits, most of them, with black ties. They had dates. It looked like a scene from a James Bond movie. And they had a grand piano at the bar, and my cousin Teddy sat down. You know, he's from West Virginia, just does whatever he wants. He sits down at the piano, we're in suits, and he starts playing that kind of music, like how Brother Tony plays. He was playing, play It's a New Season, It's a New Day by Israel Houghton. This is what he played. So, in the natural, that's no big deal. That's not like irritating music. Do you know that bar was 3 or 4 people deep in Venice? It was Friday night. People were out at the bar drinking with their dates. Little by little, people started to leave the bar, put money on the piano, and wave. You know, he spoke Italian, give him a thumbs up, and walk out. He'd nod. It took about 8 minutes. He wasn't like he was at the piano. He's playing some song, You'll Go to Hell If You Keep Drinking. He's just playing. The whole bar, there had to have been 80 people plus around the bar. The whole bar cleared out. The last two people left and left money. Teddy collected it. It was like several hundred euro. And the bar was empty. And the bartender went like this. He was like, you ruined the business. But you didn't do anything. But that music made it impossible to sin with that atmosphere. Hallelujah. Because the anointing can be released. It's released through music. It's released through the word, speaking the word. It's released by the laying on of hands. It's released by cloth. It's released by the prayer of faith. You don't have to wait for God to move. God gives you instruction on what you can do that'll move the spirit, and the spirit will destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah! Now, so there's music. And music's of God. Read Psalm 150.
They're playing those instruments. That's like rock and roll.
No, there was this before there was rock and roll. I said there was this before there was rock and roll. In fact, Elvis Presley used to sit in the Assemblies of God church and listen to this music to get ideas. Bob Marley used to sit in the Pentecostal churches in Jamaica to get ideas. We don't have inferior music. We have superior music. We have music that makes devils go, that brings peace to anxiety-ridden minds. It is the anointing coming on instruments. That sax is anointed. That piano's anointed. That B3's anointed. Clarita's anointed. Those instruments. We're created. Sister Clarita, we'll close with that in a couple minutes. It's a new season. It's a new day. Fresh anointing coming my way. It's a season of power and prosperity. You know, just because you play music in church doesn't mean it's anointed music. There's people, you know why I come to church 30 minutes late? I could give you a couple reasons. One of them, the main one, I got into the habit of doing that on the road. Because if I would have come on time and listened to what passed for praise and worship, I would have killed myself 17 minutes in. You say, you shouldn't talk like that. I'm telling you, I would have killed myself in 17 minutes. I say, Lord, take me home. Is there a brick wall nearby? It's so depressing. You know, one of the churches I was at recently, we brought Sister Clarita to sing, and their jerky praise and worship team told her she's not allowed to sing. And so I walked in. She's supposed to be singing at 7:30. When I walked in, there was... It'd be like if I was walking in from the back like this, I couldn't see up to where she was. I was looking at my notes, and when I walked in, I thought, Clarita must be in trouble, like going through a hard time, because she lost the anointing. I was honestly thinking she must be battling like suicide or depression, because the whole reason I hired her, she like doesn't have it anymore. Then I looked up, and it was that other lady. And I thought, oh, thank God. It's this church's problem. It's not my problem. You know, the Bible says that anybody that doesn't have joy was forbidden to serve in the temple in the Old Testament. The Bible says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll come into his courts with praise. We don't care whether you like fast music or not. God likes fast music. God's not a depressed God. God's not a worried God. And he said, I want you to be like me. So when Sunday rolls around, we don't sing about our problems. We sing about the one that destroyed the power of death. We don't wait till Easter. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ every Sunday as a reminder to the devil that he lost. Hallelujah. Say out loud with me, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. You got healed. What month was that you got healed?
October.
Hallelujah.
I am healthy.
Say it.
I am healthy and blessed.
That's right. This church doesn't believe in miracles. This church has 799 miracles every Sunday. Hallelujah. One day we'll have more, but right now, every Sunday, we have guaranteed 799 miracles. Say it out loud. I don't just believe in miracles. I is a miracle. Hallelujah. You got Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Face the crowd with me. You know where I met this fine gentleman? Connecticut. I was filling in for a pastor. I was 29 years old, 30 maybe. And he had a heart that was down to what percent?
25.
25% function. This was a long time ago. And I didn't know who he was. I called him. I said, sir, God's given you a brand new heart. He went out under the power. He didn't even believe in going out under the power. He came back with a brand new heart. He'd been living. He helped build the church out at 107 Patton Drive because it is the anointing. See, people don't believe in it. Hallelujah. Put your hand on your heart. I see a fresh touch coming on your heart. Lord will strengthen it again. Get strengthened again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn around so people see it. Where's your son, Abel? Abel, does your dad cry a lot? No. Would he have spanked you for crying growing up? Yes. You know, same with my dad. But you see my dad cries when he sings. He's crying. The anointing, people say, I wouldn't act like that for all the money in the world. When God touches you, you'll do it for free. God will make a depressed person laugh. God will make a stoic Pennsylvania man sing. God will make somebody that can't run to jump. Bible says he makes my feet like hinds' feet. He makes the lame to walk. He puts streams in the desert. He'll make you never touch drugs again. He'll make you never touch alcohol again. He'll make you tell your therapist, I don't need this anymore. Something has happened and I'm changed. It is the anointing of the Holy Ghost that sets the captive free, that breaks the yoke of bondage and lifts
every heavy burden. Come on, if you receive that, let's give God a shout of praise. Shout. Don't wait till the battle's over. Shout ahead of time. That's how we level the walls of Jericho. Come on, Sister Clarita, give it a little shout out of those miracle lungs.
I will rejoice. I will rejoice. For he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. Hallelujah. He has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.